Now, this morning, I'm going to speak a little bit more on the message I started last Sunday, Angels on Assignment. I hardly got started on it last week, and I have some scripture I want to share with you in this regard, and to ask God not only to help us to know and realize the validity of the fact that angels are with us, but that we might be aware of their presence and know that we can expect God's help through this army from heaven. Praise God. This is a day of renewed spiritual activity. Strange things are happening. People are being awakened. Enemies of Christ are leaving the camp, the enemy's camp, and are moving over to God's side. New voices are being heard proclaiming the good news. Do you know that what you're seeing is the evidence of an army from heaven that's on the move? Hallelujah. I've heard so many testimonies of people who were completely away from God. Friends have talked to them. Members of the family have talked to them. People have prayed for them. They were stubborn. It looked like they would be the last ones to come to Jesus. But in God's great plan and purpose, He had planned to send divine power, a divine emissary, to say, hey, turn them around. And their lives have turned around. And it's happening in all areas of life. It's happening in the athletic world, the sports world. It's happening in the business world, in the entertainment world, in the political world. It's happening. People are turning to God, finding Him real. Praise the Lord. And this is all evidence that the hosts of heaven are on the move at God's command. I'm going to read a little portion of Scripture to you. If you'd like to turn to Judges chapter 7. Then we're going to quote a number of verses, and I'd like to have you jot them down, because this study of angels is really a beautiful study. I'm going to have you turn just a couple of pages further, and then we'll come back to that one in Judges 7. We'll move to Judges 13. I'll use this for a little starter. Beginning with the first verse of Judges 13, there's a real beautiful truth that we want to share with you. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. You see, in God's plan book there, He had destined these 40 years. And when the 40 years were over, God had some other things in mind, plan for them. And he had prepared a family through which he could bring a deliverer to the people. There was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came to me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, that we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass that when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. This is a beautiful story with some truths that are so up to date and pertinent for us today. I would say one of the most misunderstood subjects among God's people is the subject of angels. I have actually heard honest-hearted people, knowing that there are angels around, commanding angels to do this, this, this. You see, angels can take on the appearance of a person, but it need not. Their image or their appearance is not necessary for their presence to be there. They're already here. But this angel appeared so that he could be seen with the natural eyes. And the angel taught a lesson here that God wants us to learn and know in connection with angels. And that is that we are not to pray to angels. The Word tells us that angels do God's bidding. They're His messengers. He gives the signals. He calls out the orders to them. And for this reason, when Manoah prayed and asked God, he said, God, send the angel. Then God answered his prayer and sent the angel. Another thing about angels, they are not to be worshipped. And so this angel said, don't give me any honor at all. Because the angels are so ordained and created that there is no place in their entire being for praise or honor. Their creation, their purpose is that they might serve the eternal God. They are called the hosts of the Lord. And as this angel, the message that he brought, God saw to it that it came to pass. And there are many, many beautiful angels or passages bringing out stories about the angels through the Word. I think of in Exodus 14:19, the Word speaks of the angel of God that came as a protector. Let me give you several scriptures here that if you have a pencil and paper, you can mark them down. And then in your study and your devotion at home, you can read them. Joshua 5:13-14. At this point, the children of Israel were ready to cross over into the promised land, or they just crossed over the Jordan, ready to invade the promised land. Gideon, or Joshua, went out, and he saw a man with a sword in his hand. And he saw that he was a warrior. Gideon addressed this man, and he said, are you with us, or are you with our enemies over here? And so Gideon, I'm going to get Gideon in there someplace. He had an experience. I've got to get him off my chest. Judges 7:12, 16, 20. You can mark those down. Now we've got Gideon taken care of. But he had a beautiful experience with an angel coming to him. But in this case, with Joshua, Joshua asked him the question, are you with us or are you with them? And if an angel were to tell believers today what that angel told Joshua, they would feel so bad. They would say, God isn't on our side. Because this angel said, wrong on both counts. I'm not with your enemies, and I'm not part of your army. I'm part of another army. I have come with orders from God. And you can't see them, Joshua, but standing right close all around me here and behind me in the great mighty columns are myriads of angels. There is a host of them. The Lord's host is here, and I'm the captain of the Lord's host. You see, God in his great planning had everything all mapped out. He knew just exactly how he was going to get the Jericho conquered. Jericho was a city with high walls. It was the first one that they came to. And with this going down, and with God, with a great victory here, the other lands that they were going to conquer, and the kings and the armies would fear and quake if they could see a great miracle that God was on their side. So God sent this captain down with some orders. And if we could somehow pull those orders out of the inside of his coat pocket, take a look at them. They would say, the children of Israel are going to march around those walls 7 days. They're your allies, host. Those people are your allies. Now, they're going to march around 7 days. The last day, they're going around seven times. Now, we're going to have to coordinate what we do here. So, in these orders, he said, when you hear them, I've already given them their orders. They're to shout at a given signal. Now, in order to correlate things, angels, when you hear their shout, push the walls down. So, the angels took their positions on top of those walls and hovered around real close. Israel didn't even know what was going on, but God did. Angels did. And they waited. And at that given sound, when God said for Moses to shout, and as they gave that shout of victory, every angel there, with all their might and strength, and great big thick walls that were thick enough to build a house on, if they would have tipped over, they'd have still been a wall, because they were as thick as they were high. So it wouldn't have done much good to tip them over. They still had a wall. So God said to the angels, push them down. And the Bible tells us that the walls fell down flat. They didn't even have to pick their way through cracks. All of these people that were gathered around the wall just went in, every person, right straight in front of them, because the walls were down. Hallelujah. This was an act of those angels. But God, this captain of the host, in looking at his orders, he said there's something, a little change, or a little special order that God has written down here for one little part of this wall. And as the angel looked at that, he said, it seems like there's somebody there that God has made a deal with. And so you two angels get over there, and when everybody else pushes the walls down, you hold the wall up in that spot, because that's where Rahab lives. And in God's plan for her, he made a promise that the wall won't go down where you are. You'll be spared. I've been told that in the archaeological findings, the diggings of old Jericho, there is still evidence of the wall where Rahab's house was. Hallelujah. Oh, God has a host. God isn't left without resources. Well, he could do everything himself because he's God, but he has a host working with him besides those who are working with him here on this earth. In Numbers 22:22-27, you might just mark some of these down. I'm just going to touch on them lightly now. The angel of the Lord kept Balaam from cursing Israel. Israel wanted to go on record as being an enemy of God and curse Israel for some money. God said, angel, don't let him do it. And Balaam tried to curse, and every time he started to curse, God, the angel twisted up his tongue and he blessed him. What's the matter with me? Losing my mind. And he'd try again. He'd get some of the big old long curses all rolled up in his tongue, and he'd say them, and again it would be a blessing. He didn't realize there was a big angel standing there that was putting a different record in his mouth to play. And Israel was blessed. This was so much an order of God that God even made a mule talk and scared the daylights out of Balaam. He tried to force that mule to move. Mules are stubborn anyway, as you all know, but not very many of them talk. Some of them laugh. But this mule turned around and he said, "Balaam, haven't I served you well all these years?" Why would God ever allow such a story to be printed in the Bible? You know why he did? Because it happened. That mule spoke. But that mule didn't know how to speak. The angel had to stick a little recording in that mule's mouth to play at the right time, too. You see? Because God had the mule do it. Don't think I'm twisting the scripture, but I'm just letting you know it was because of the presence of God's angel that this took place. They are great in power and in might. And listen, they are still here to hinder that person who willfully says, "I'm going to throw my life away. I'm going to destroy this thing." That person that has lived God and has prayed and had prayers going up for him, I want you to know, you're going to have a harder time fighting God and going your own way than what you think. God will let you do it, but I want you to know that if you find things going kind of rough for you, don't look now, but there's some big angels there. For God has given angels some orders, and he said, "Take charge." Praise God. Hallelujah. God doesn't mind if we talk about angels a little bit. Because when we talk about angels, we're talking about God's great plan and what he does and the ways and means that he takes care of his plan. I think of the angel that came to John or to Zechariah and gave the message that John was to be born. God is so concerned of his unfolding plan that the angels of heaven get excited when they can bring a message concerning that unfolding plan. They came with that message to Zechariah that John, and to Elizabeth, that John the Baptist would be born. An angel came to Mary and told Mary that Jesus was going to be born, that God's plan was unfolding, that God was on time, that as he had written down and prepared and planned before he ever made the earth, that he was unfolding that plan. And in order for everything to correlate, God had to allow a little time in developing so that at the given moment, everything would be in readiness. And he allowed just exactly the right amount of time so that on the given day, everything was in readiness. That Jesus, the day that he offered himself, was exactly the day that God intended for him to do it. It wasn't something that God decided just a few years before it happened. He let Daniel take a look over his shoulder, and he said, "Look here, Daniel, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm going to show you some of my plans here." So Daniel was up in that room where God took me that time, and he let him look over his shoulder, and he said, "Daniel, Israel is going to go into captivity for 70 years. Did you know that? Now, when they're in captivity, when a decree goes out that 70 years, or when the 70 years up, there's going to be a decree go out by a king, and he named him, to rebuild Jerusalem. Then, if you would like to start counting and count 483 years, a man that hasn't even been born yet." Now, he gave a lot of little things that would happen in there. He gave the march of Alexander the Great. He told about the four generals that would be taking over in place of his four sons. God told all about that because God had it planned for some reason that way. But he said, at the end of 483 years, Jesus is going to give his life for the world. He's going to die, he told Daniel, not for himself, but for the sins of the world. And exactly on time,
Jesus died for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God cares so much about us. Everything that God does is telling us He loves us, that He cares for us, that He wants us, and that He will help us. Here's some other verses for you to mark down. Did I give you Luke 1, 11 through 20 and Luke 1, 28? These have to do with the angel meeting Zechariah and Mary. And then the angel warned Joseph, Matthew 2, 13, came to him. Matthew 4, 11, Luke 22, 43, we read that angels of God came down and strengthened Jesus, ministered to him in an hour of need. They were present to minister to him when he was in the wilderness, suffering and being tempted of the devil as he took his stand. God said, I like it. Angels, here's an order. Go down there and strengthen him and let him know that he's done the right thing. Then at the tomb, as another great plan was fulfilled and Jesus came forth, God said, angels, get down there with a special message. There's going to be some people come to the tomb. They're going to need to know what happened. They've kind of forgotten what they heard. You're going to have to tell them. So there they were at the tomb. Then when Jesus went up to heaven, God, every great event in the unfolding plan of God, there were angels that became visible. And when Jesus went back to heaven, here they stood again, two men. All kinds of others were there, but only two of them made themselves visible. And they said, what are you fellows looking up to heaven for? He's coming back. The same Jesus that's going away is coming back in like manner as you've seen him go. Oh, hallelujah. God's on the job. And the hosts of heaven are on the job. Then when Jesus returns, another great part of his unfolding plan, the angels of heaven are again going to be visible, this time not just two or three, but the multitudes upon multitudes, the hosts of heaven. Matthew 25:31, as Jesus returns, he said he will return with the angels of heaven going to follow in his train. Praise God. Jude 14, or verse 14 and 15. Jude tells us, as he's quoting a prophecy, the Lord is coming with tens of thousands of his saints and all of the holy angels with him. Now these angels have definitely been sent. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews, the first chapter, and verse 13, he's speaking here now about the position of angels in the earth and how great God is, and he's higher than angels. Verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Then he tells, no, they're not to receive this kind of honor. Are they not all? Circle that little word, all. They're all ministering spirits. Sent forth. Underline sent forth. They're sent forth. They're on orders from God. They're on assignment from God. Praise God. They're sent forth to help you. You could write your name in here because you're an heir. You could write the names of those loved ones of yours. And many people who are so far from God now, you think that there'd be nothing in heaven or earth could possibly turn them toward God. But there's some angels tagging them, following them along, because they're, God knows those that are His. He knows those that will be. He has these angels following them, sent forth to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. Now, quickly, I'm going to have you write down some more references here. I've got way too many to read, but, oh, it's so interesting. The Bible, I read a book one time that said there's so little written about angels, it's hard to get a sermon on them. I started looking through the Bible, and I could hardly find any place where they were mentioned and where they didn't have a definite part. Genesis 24:7 uses the word, God sent forth his angels. When he spoke to Eliezer to get a bride for Isaac, which was another part of his plan, he sent his angels ahead of him to prepare the way. The angels led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Exodus 23:20. He sent his angel to lead them. He sent his angel to clear the way. In the going forth out of Egypt, the children of Israel went. The angel of the Lord saw to it that the light was turned on for the children of Israel, and that it was a darkness to the Egyptians. The Word of God tells us that God sent his angel. In the daytime, the angel would go in front and lead them. When they stopped, the angel would come around and say, okay, I'll stay back here, and we'll guard things. It was the angel of the Lord sent for this reason. The angel of the Lord is sent to clear the way for God's people. Exodus 33:2. If you're taking these references, we have Genesis 24:7, Genesis 24:40, Exodus 23:20, Exodus 33:2, and the Psalms 34:7. And this reference, Psalms, the Holy Spirit had David write these words, that the angel of the Lord encamps. Or there, the angel of the Lord is sent forth. This is the reference we have on this one. 34:7. There, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Second Chronicles 18:18. One of the prophets of God came to bring a message to some kings that were rallying for battle. And they wanted to find out what God's direction, what God's will was. But they were asking everybody else instead of asking God. So God sent an angel or a prophet. Well, this prophet said, I just came. God let me have a little vision of something going on in heaven. And you know what I saw? I saw God in all of his glory. And out before God, I saw all of the hosts of heaven standing on the right hand and on the left. The hosts, the armies of heaven, he called them. The armies of heaven are there. And they're poised. They're ready to move at an order from God. They have rallied their forces. The armies of heaven. Oh, thank God. God's still in business, folks. Do you know that in all of these years, there hasn't been one of those angels die? They have not decreased in strength. They're still mighty. Praise God. They've been sent forth to help us, to care for us, to provide, to camp about us. Psalms 91:11. He said he has given them to take charge of us. I think of Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den in Daniel 6:22. Daniel told the king. The king thought, sure, Daniel would be eaten up and there'd be nothing but scraps, not even any scraps down there in the morning. You remember the story. The king didn't sleep that night. He was on his feather bed. Everything was lovely, but he couldn't sleep because he was tormented. He thought about Daniel.
He thought about those vicious beasts. He thought about what a terrible thing he had done in throwing Daniel into the lion's den. So the first thing in the morning, he ran to the lion's den and looked in. And he cried out, "Oh, Daniel! Oh, Daniel! Was the king that you serve able to deliver you? Did he do it?" He didn't really expect an answer back, but he thought he'd try anyway. Daniel said, "Settle down, king. I had company in here last night. The angel of the Lord that I serve, the angel of my God, came in here with me. These angels of God are mighty. The word tells us their power is, it may be limited when it comes to the supernatural, but when it comes to those things in performing the work of God, they're unlimited in power, the word tells us. Hallelujah! If one angel could do so much, think of what the hosts of heaven that are marching today, think of what they can accomplish. And as in every case, as the plan of God was unfolding and another chapter was being opened, the angels of God became visible and brought messages. And in our day, people all over the world have had visits by visible angels. Hallelujah. This ought to tell you something. God isn't letting this old world just run down without his notice and his attention. Another chapter is unfolding. He's about ready to come. Hallelujah. The greatest rescue mission ever accomplished in all the universe is about ready to take place. Praise God. And he has his angels out now. Praise God. They haven't just appeared in rare instances, but reports are being received all over the country that angelic beings are being seen. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the way my hair practically stood on end on the back of my neck when Brother Weaver from Bozeman, I believe it was, Bozeman, Montana, was visited by an angel. The angel met him twice. But when he was visited and didn't do what the angel gave him, the instructions that the angel gave him to do, he thought it was some kind of a dream. He thought people would laugh at him. The angel met him 2 weeks later. And while he was stopped at a light on his way home from the fellowship meeting, the angel, somebody, he thought it was just a man, opened his car door and climbed in, sat down with him. Chatted with him a little bit, reminded him of the assignment that God had given him. And when Brother Weaver said, "Okay, I'll do what you said, God," the angel opened the door. He wouldn't have had to. At 50 miles an hour, stepped out, and he never saw him hit the pavement. If this angel that visited Manoah could step in a flame and go out of sight that way, why couldn't an angel step out of a moving car without being hurt? Why, they can. God has his angels. Hallelujah. They've been sent forth. They have their orders. They're coming direct from heaven. People cannot tell those angels, "Don't help that person. I know some things about them that you don't know. Don't help." All of the efforts of ungodly men and the efforts of hell can't stop them. They're on assignment from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they can not only shut the mouths of lions, they can push back the forces of darkness with ease. Rob them of their power to hurt you. Hallelujah. If somehow
our physical eyes could be opened today. And we could see things as they really are, not only the way they look like, humanly speaking. We would see, literally, a greater congregation of angels here than there are people. They're here. God has sent them here. I'm convinced of this. The same God that has unfolded the message that he gave to me last January 21 in such perfect detail, including dates, that same God that let me see this auditorium filled with angels would not make a mistake on this part. He didn't make it on any of the others. They're here. And very possibly, even invisible form, some of those that may be seated in this building today, you may not be aware of, you may not know them, could be very well an angel. There could be a number of them. But the Word tells us that God hasn't changed. Do you believe that He hasn't changed? He hasn't changed. Did you know that the Word said that people had entertained strangers? They thought they were just strangers, but they were angels, unawares. Did you know the Word said that? You don't always know them when you see them, unless you happen to see them step in a fire and go up, or jump out of a car when it's moving and not hit the ground. But they're around. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, even if you don't see them, I want you to be aware of the fact that encamped about you are some visitors from outer space. Hallelujah. They didn't have to come here in flying saucers. They come as fast as the command of God, the thought of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is the reason Moses could cry out. As God said, everything's in readiness, Moses. Another part, another chapter of my plan for you is going to unfold. You're going to move camp. You're going to follow me. So you can give the signal, Moses. Rise up, Lord. Let your enemies be scattered. You read over in Psalms. I don't remember the Psalm now. I believe it's 68 or something like this. David is talking about it. And as the cry goes up, rise up, Lord. Let your enemies be scattered. The hosts of the heaven begin to move. There is action. And they prepare the way before you. In every case here, where God told someone that a plan was being fulfilled, the angels came and prepared the way. And they're still doing it. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want anyone here this morning to feel that we're taking emphasis away from God to God's host. But God wants you to be aware that he's not off in a corner somewhere helpless to help you. But his angels have been sent forth with the assignment, take charge of those people. Camp round about them. Deliver them. Hallelujah. You know what I'm telling you in one line in this message? I'm telling you what God is like. That God loves you enough that he's prepared everything that you need for your deliverance and your help. He has sent the Holy Spirit to be within you and the angels to camp around you. How can you lose? Praise God, praise God. Let's just stand all over this building with hands raised. Let's worship the Lord. And that great song of the angels, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's being sung. It's reaching the ears of God. You feel like just blending your voice with some words of praise and hallelujahs. Go ahead and do it. Because this is a song that has begun and it's never going to stop. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that's real. We thank you, God, for the way that you have planned and prepared, the way you care for your people. Hallelujah. Jesus, at this moment, may we hear the rush of angels' wings. Oh, God. May we feel the cool breath that comes as fear departs, as tension leaves because of the command of God to the heavenly beings. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. The arm of the Lord is shortened that he cannot save. Let none say that his ear is heavy and he cannot hear. For the Lord God is moving through all of the earth, preparing and readying a people for his name. And he has sent forth his hosts on assignment for him. Believe him. Trust him. He stands with you. He stands with you. Fear not. The Lord thy God is with thee. And he has commanded and sent forth the hosts of heaven to accomplish his bidding. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord has given the interpretation to any of you, just feel free to give it. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word, for your promise that you're here. We thank you that you have chosen to not leave us without direction. You have given us the beautiful privilege and opportunity to hear your voice, to receive the assurance that you care, that you're with us, that you're standing by. And none of us need face this life and the battles of this life alone, for God is with us. We love you for it, dear Lord. We love you for it. For Praise God forever. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
One little thought I want to leave with you as you're dismissed, and that is, you are safer than you think. You are. Praise God. Jesus, bless this congregation as we know you have. Minister to them. May this afternoon be precious time. We ask, dear Lord, that as you are revealing yourself, you would reveal yourself. We would count it a real honor, dear Lord, to have visible visits by this heavenly host. We invite them. Praise God. We know they're here. We ask that you will be with us and bring us back again to the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.